And now with his message, with a question. What is the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness? Your Harvest Time Radio minister, Nathaniel A. Urshan. God bless you, Brother Urshan.
I'm reading from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and note the reading. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. When I ask the question, what is the mystery of iniquity and what is the mystery of godliness, I'm selecting from the scriptures two areas of mysteries. There are numbers of mysteries that are talked about in the New Testament, but these two are of utmost importance. First of all, let me explain it in a way that is easy for you to understand, both in the audience that is attentive and to those that are in our Radioland audience. The mystery of iniquity is that man is trying to make himself God. Let me repeat that to you again. That man is trying to make himself God. Where did it begin? It began in the heavenlies when Lucifer tried to make himself greater than Almighty God. Jesus said he beheld him cast out of heaven like lightning, so that there is in this earth right now a power of iniquity that is bidding for the souls of mankind. It's the very unusual aspect of man trying to be a God. Listen from the same chapter as it describes this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I want you to note that the falling away will come first. And we are right now in what I would call a very severe falling away period. Notice, if you will, the deteriorating morals and perverted lifestyles that are being approved by churches. What a shame. And then situation ethics, where it teaches you that it's all right to lie if it's for a good cause. That is a strange thing coming from pulpits of many churches. The climate of accepted promiscuous sexual lifestyles has lowered to the point where people do no longer look on stealing, lying, adultery, fornication, homosexuality as sin. Our minds have been conditioned by the great falling away to overlook sin. No conscience or consciousness of what sinning practice causes. Crime is the outcome. Violence is at an all-time high. The mind of man is being brainwashed by a steady pounding of a liberal media. Once righteous people who would stand up for right in any instance, and once righteous churchgoers have fallen into placidity, inertia, and sleep, no one cries out against it, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The man of sin will be a homosexual. Daniel 16:36-37 declares it, that he will be a man that has no love for women. He will charm the world with flatteries. He will deceive by lying wonders and miracles. Then he will desecrate in the third temple of Solomon by offering a pig as a sacrifice on the holy altars of the temple. How can you imagine the desire of the people to choose Barabbas, the murderer, released from prison instead of the release of the innocent Christ who came into this world and did everything to save mankind? But this is a strange situation. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. But let me tell you the better side of it. There is a mystery of godliness. And I would like to say the mystery of godliness is God made himself a man. While man tries to make himself God, he'll never make it. But my God became a man. Listen to what Timothy says in his writings. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And then John, the beloved, in his writing of his gospel, tried to impress us with the greatness of this message when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I want you to think about it, friend. I want you to take your Bible, if you're in Radio Land, and look at it very carefully. The first six miracles in John coincide with the first six miracles in Genesis. The first miracle that Jesus performed was when he turned water into wine. The first miracle of creation was that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and he brought something out of nothing. The second great miracle in John's explanation was the fact that the Lord God came to a man that was from Capernaum, and he was a nobleman. And he said, my son is grievously ill unto death. And the Almighty God in Jesus Christ told the nobleman's son, if he believed the word, that his son could be healed. And the man said, speak the word, and my son shall be healed. And the Bible tells us in the first chapter of Genesis that he spoke the word, and the world was filled with light. You see, in John's writing, he's trying to show us that in the beginning, it was God. And it is God in the beginning, and it'll be God in the ending of time. John gives us another beautiful expression when he tells us about the breaking of the loaves and the fishes. And the Lord fed 5,000 people, and there was food left over. Somebody asked me the question one day, what a great miracle. I said, there's a greater miracle than that. When God created the earth, he put enough food for 5 billion people so that we could reach out and enjoy it. But it's the selfishness of man that keeps others from enjoying what God has made. Well, in the book of Genesis, he said, let there be beasts in the field. Let there be fowls in the air. Let there be fish in the sea. And he was showing us that he is the one that can take and break the bread and multiply it in his mighty hands. And then not only that, but I want you to note, he stood at the point of a death situation when Lazarus was dead. And when he stood there, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who was dead, came spinning out of death. Here is God showing mankind that he's the one that brought man up out of the dust of the earth. And after he had finished giving them light, after he had finished giving them the fowls, the beasts, and the fish of the sea, then he said, let us make man. And he made him from the dust of the earth, framed him, and breathed the breath of life into him. But I want you to know this great God of ours is the one that created man from the earth and brought Lazarus from the very desperate areas of death. Not only that, but he healed a man that was blind from his birth. And we healed a man that had darkness in his life. He took clay, spit upon it, put it in his eyes, and then said, be ye healed. And this man was healed by the power of the living God. It was in the beginning of time that the Lord divided the firmament, and he made heaven and earth, and he made night and day. That same God is still the God of the New Testament. And there's more to it than that. I want you to know that one day he stood by the pool of Bethesda, and a man was looking for somebody to throw him into that pool so he could be healed. And Jesus asked him why he was not healed, and if anybody could help him. And he said, I've been here, but people beat me to the pool. And the Lord looked at him and told him that he would be healed that very moment. A big argument began to be discussed between the Pharisees and Jesus. The argument was, who gives life? And Jesus told them, the same life that's in the Father is in me. So when you look at the book of John, you're looking at the first six miracles which brought to us the beautiful truth that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was trying to show mankind what he could do. Those of you who are listening to me in Radioland, I don't know how deep in sin you've gone. I know of people who have been in the depths of despair and in the very dry docks of hell. But then Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he brought with him that life-saving, life-giving substance that made new creatures out of old wrecks. He changed the mind and the spirit of man and put them in another direction. Jesus has never changed. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. I challenge you wherever you are. Throw your hands up in the air and praise God and see what will happen. But if you're in an automobile, park the car. Park it by the side of the road. Throw your hands in the air and say, Lord, fill me with the power of thy presence. And our God is able to do that very thing for you.
Harvest time.
Harvest time.
Of Harvest Time has brought you a Bible message with a clear and certain sound. A printed copy of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.